Welcome, guys, to the Mother Earth Heroes Show. I'm here with Eckhard Hahn, and Eckhard has a pretty exciting project which he's currently working on. But maybe, Eckhard, before we dive deeper into the eco-city, can you give us a short introduction about yourself in a nutshell? Who is Eckhard Hahn, and where are we at the moment?
Yes. I was educated as an architect at Technical University Berlin in the 1960s. And after my studies, I got assistant professor at Technical University. Then came the year 1972 and the report, The Limits of Growth. And then I was thinking, what has that to do with architecture and town planning? And in a short time I came to the result it has a lot to do with it. Because, for example, I learned as a student, energy is not a question anymore for architects and town planners. Mm. We have nuclear power plants, we have fossils. Energy problem is solved forever. That was what I learned at university. And then came The Limits of Growth, as I said. And I quit my job at university, and for 5 years I left for a small village with 200 inhabitants in the Black Forest. And 5 years I was thinking about them, because I came to the result we have totally to rethink modern architecture and modern town planning. So from the Black Forest I made some trips to China, because at that time I couldn't find any good examples, ideas, theories in our Western culture. So I looked to other cultures, and I found in the Chinese culture, in the historical Chinese culture, but also in the, at that time, Mao culture, a lot of ideas about sustainable settlements, sustainable architecture, sustainable lifestyles. Of course, they also made a lot of mistakes, but they were extremely interesting things. So, and then I developed the theory of ecological urban restructuring. And first, for several years, I made many research projects. I all designed them for myself, but I got the money from foundations, from institutes, and so on, so I got a lot of support. And after this theory phase, I said, well, now I have to test it if the theory is right or if it's just a theory. So then I started a period of model projects. So I did model projects of ecological urban restructuring, mainly in Berlin, and founded an interdisciplinary group to do such pilot projects. But we also did it in Moscow and in other countries. So and this project phase lasted until 1997. And from 1998, I thought now it has to be educated to students. So I changed to university, got a professor, and tried it in the German university system, but this was not very effective and not very successful.
Why not?
Yeah, that is because at university you have a teaching, so professors who are teaching their subjects, what they learned, they give to the students, but many professors have difficulties to change their thinking and their teaching. That is hard work. And professors, a little in Germany, half gods. So, because they know what is
right.
Yeah. So, but I'm I'm still teaching, but now I'm teaching in another way. It's long distance teaching for German students, but also international students. And at this long distance university, we can select and collect teachers who are thinking in the right, in the same way. And so we can start really new study programs. And that's good. But now I want to come to the project you mentioned. So in a way, I decided I never will do a project anymore. But then came the year 2015. And our government invited 1 million refugees. But the government had no concept what to do with them. So the refugees were only allowed to sleep and to eat. And if you want to destroy a human being, then you give him just to eat and to sleep and nothing to do. So people need to do something, otherwise they get destroyed. So many German were thinking how they can help. So some gave clothes, other gave food, other were teaching language and so on. And so I was also thinking what could be my contribution to the situation. And together with a friend, Joachim Gebler, we were thinking, well, we have students. So we make a student program and give this problem to the students to find a solution. Because if you look at the refugees, they are butchers, farmers, so they bring not a lot of knowledge to organize daily life themselves. So we were thinking we have to find a situation where they can really organize their life themselves. And I was thinking back to the German, the Prussian king, Frederick the Great. He at that time invited the Huguenots to Prussia, but he gave them land, he gave them houses, or they built a house themselves, and they were very fruitful, and it was a really success story at that time with the refugees. So we could learn from him. But it was not so easy to find a site where to do it, because in Berlin situation, flats are expensive, land is expensive. It was not realistic. So I was looking for another place, and then I found site of Wünsdorf, about 40 kilometers south of Berlin. And this is an empty place, but with a special history, because for more than 100 years it was a center of military and war in Germany. So in Wünsdorf was the headquarters of the army and the military already in the First World War. The same it was in the Second World War. It was a center of military and the center of the Generalstab and so on. And after the Second World War, it was the center of the Cold War, because the center of the Russian troops in Germany and Europe, Western Europe.
Did it have such a good infrastructure, or was it placed just right on the map?
The place has special advantage because the military always needs an area which is quite empty of people, with unfertile land, a lot of forest. And this was important for our idea, which I will explain later, because we need a place, you know, and in our times it is a good new world, like, for example, wind power and so on, is fine, but not in my neighborhood. So you need, for such a project, you need a site where you have very few neighbors who can say, nice idea, but not in my neighborhood. No? And this military area was quite empty. And another point is the land belongs, is public land, not private land. That's also a very important point. And it is near to Berlin, because you need a lot of people, institutes who are working in such a project, who will not live there. But it must be really, in a short time, you must be able to go there. So, and what is the idea of the project? The project is called EcoCity. That is a model project for EcoCities. It's a laboratory for EcoCities and an educational center for EcoCities, to build EcoCities. And the numbers for 10,000 people who are educated there, 10,000, about maybe 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, but about 10,000. And I want to explain the idea of this EcoCity.
Before we go into idea, could you give us a brief overview why an EcoCity is important to us? I mean, it's cool to have 10,000 students educated, spreading around the whole world, building EcoCities themselves, but why is it important?
Yeah. So, just a minute. So, the big challenges of the 21st century is climate change and refugees because of climate change and resource wars and a lot of other environmental problems. These are the big challenges. And with my background working on EcoCities, I know that these problems have mainly to do with wrong developments in modern settlement and city planning. That is the main problem. Because we have 12,000 years of urbanism, and there are only two periods. One lasted from the first cities about 12,000 years ago up to the Industrial Revolution. In this 12,000 years, city and urbanism was quite similar if you go to China, to Japan, so to the Incas, to the Mayas, to the Near East, wherever you go, the basic principles of urbanism were similar. Just, of course, according to the local conditions, but in general, concerning the sustainable rules, basic rules, they were similar. And the main principle was they were organized cyclic metaflow, no import of energy, only renewable energy from the region, and nutrient cycles, water cycles, so everything was organized in cycles, so there was no waste. They produced nearly or very, very little waste. And they also organize in a way their own climate. And these principles you also find in nature. If you look, for example, for a tree, these are basic principles for sustainability. And with Industrial Revolution, this changed completely. Because people now thought they are not anymore dependent on the natural criteria of sustainability. So they started to organize their cities in a complete other way, in a very linear way. So they imported from nature variable resources, and in the city they were changed to waste, to poisonous pollutions, and climate a modern city. So the only chance to solve this problem is to come back to the old principles, which were for 12,000 years mainly sustainable. But of course, on the level of modern science, technology, knowledge, and that's different. And what we will do in Wünsdorf, we will create there a model city and a laboratory for these techniques, not only physical techniques, also social techniques and economical systems for these cities of the future.
Could you dive a little bit deeper in the social aspect? Because I find it really interesting. I think that is what I recognize, especially in movements like Extinction Rebellion or Fridays for Future, that when you bring a lot of people together at a really short amount of time, like, it is so easy to get into stress. So I think the social aspect is something, especially when you build a city with 10,000 students who need to learn somehow together, so they need to get somehow along, one of the biggest challenges, right? So how do you, what is your learning on that through your journey?
Yeah, the social side, so it's, if you organize your life in a cyclic way, and on the other side, it needs a new, to create a new, also a social relationship between nature and humans. So people have to understand more deeply how a sustainable relationship to nature functions. So and that means that you have to change the way you produce food, the way you organize your mobility, the way you organize in a healthy way your house and your neighborhood. So, and you are again, so I always say in our modern cities we have consumers. The city is organized to consumers. And in the eco-city of the future, the neighborhood is organized again with the people. The people are in the center. I go every year to Japan, and Japan people like to understand pictures. So I tell them it's a change from our modern fossil tanker society to a post-fossil sailing boat society. And because it makes also the social side very clear. A tanker has just the function to transport fossils from Arabic country or wherever to the consumer cities. You don't need them at all if you take local renewable resources, which we have enough. But there's another important point. On a tanker, you don't have a crew. A sailing boat has a crew. And everybody in the crew has a function. And the function is to organize a relationship to the forces of nature, the wind, the water, energy, and so on. The crew, the people, the humans, and the boat, the sailing boat. And so this crew is really running the boat, and a good boat is looking very carefully at the natural forces, trying to make the best use and sustainable use of the natural resources. So it's a completely different system. And if you look in pre-industrial cities, which I mentioned before, it's a little similar. They were also organized like sailing boats. And we will have only a sustainable future if we look to the innovations we have at the moment, so digitalization, new cyclic systems on the very local level. These are the innovations. If you look to the new mobility systems and so on. So you find a lot of innovations which are just preparing this future. But very few people understand this by the moment, and that they're only getting sustainable if you connect them in a new system. And that is a settlement, that's a selling point. Then you have to bring them together.
So it's still silos.
Yes.
It's still like automobility is just changing its interface by coming from fossil to electricity cars, but it's not a change of the underlying of the foundation that we're
exactly.
built on.
Yes.
And an eco-city would change this foundation. I would like to go deeper into how, but even more I would like to understand, because a lot of people fear actually what you just have said, this going back to. You know, that is what an ecological future looks like for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
That it's going back to somewhere where we have been before, you know, instead of like somehow connecting it to the future.
Mm-hmm.
And the sailing boat is a really cool example. And I loved it because the tanker has one captain and he sails the way a sailing boat works together and everything is interconnected. But it's a picture of something old versus something new, right? Something old, small, little versus something big, effective, and economical, pleasing in a way, you know? So I wonder if that is the right picture for it, or if we could find a picture which looks like more futuristic and which actually makes me or people out there think, wow, and not, oh.
You're not a sailor.
I'm not a sailor. I think it's amazing, right, to sail.
Yeah.
Are you a sailor?
I'm a sailor.
Okay.
I have all this experience from my sailing period, and I sailed around the world. I sailed in the Arctic, in the Antarctic, so I have a lot of experience.
Nice.
But if you look to a modern sailing boat, that's not a sailing boat of the Egypt or of Columbus.
The rocket.
That is really high technology.
Mm-hmm.
But you need the best crew. You need a good crew to make it effective.
Mm-hmm.
But you use the most advanced technology in a sailing boat. So a sailing boat is for me a very good picture, because it shows that we need the most advanced technologies
mm-hmm.
to make a sailing boat really effective. And but to show for the settlement structures of the future, so I always say the future of cities is cellular. So even mega cities, and I go every year to Tokyo and I give a lot of lectures in Tokyo, and the concepts for eco-cities must work in Tokyo, in Shanghai, in Beijing, or Bombay, whatever, not only in villages, but the mega cities of the future will be organized cellular, because there are neighborhoods that organize to the neighborhood principle, city of short distance. You can only organize on the neighborhood level, but a mega city has many sailing boats, many cellular neighborhoods, no? Where so city of short distance, of mixed functions, and we say qualified density. That's how that means how you organize the relationship also between nature and humans. So you can also produce food in the cities in the neighborhood. Because the relationship to nature is extremely important. And we, in many cities, we have not very much nature anymore. The human people have no relationship to nature.
when we're talking about nature and the cellular cities, I think that a lot of people, and that is what we have recognized in the podcast, as well with the circle or cradle-to-cradle economy, that when you talk about it, everybody says, wow, that's amazing, and everybody agrees in a way. But do you see as well a way already towards it, and what needs to happen to really make a first Wunstorf and to make it happen? Is it governance which has to somehow accept it and supports you? Is it a mindset shift? Like how does the way towards that looks like? Is there a clear plan already?
Yes, there's a clear plan. So the main point is we need examples where people can see, touch, feel what it means, such a cellular ecostructure. And they must have the real experience, wow, it's better lifestyle, better living conditions. So by the moment, people don't trust. They say, it costs more money, it's too complicated, it doesn't work at all. So they don't have the real experience that it functions and that is better than what we have today. And that's why we need such a model city, a very open to the public, must be very open to the public, that many people can experience this. And that has to do also with the way of education there, because that's a different education. I said it will be a campus city, so there will be educated 10,000 students, but mostly not on academic level.
What does it mean, mostly not on an academic level?
So they are farming, so urban farming or farming, so water technology, cyclic water technology, local energy systems. That must not be academic level. That can be very pragmatic, because I said half of the people who will be educated are coming from disastrous areas, and they need this education, and that must not be academic. A little academic, of course, but not so much. Very practical, how to do it, not how to think about it, to do it, how to do it. So the education will be on the one hand, of course, you need a theoretical foundation, but the practical part, and that's more than 50%, is building the city, constructing the city, and running the city. So they will run the systems in the city together with their teachers and educators and so on. But the very important third component is that they will live in the eco-city. So they have in their practical experience what it means to live in a cyclic city where everything is organized in cycles, a city which produces its own food, which has a nutrient cycle in the city, there's a water cycle in the city, where cradle-to-cradle laboratories, they are involved in it, so they have this experience, and they have the experience, and that is a big challenge. The living quality to live in such a city must be much better than in a normal city today. That is the main point of convincing people. And when people have this education, and then they go to their home towns, home areas, wherever in the disaster areas of today, or the disaster areas of tomorrow, that are our cities, then they are really ambassadors of such an idea. So in the center of the city, or a very important part of the city, is the academy. So we have the laboratory, and the laboratory is combined with an academy. And this academy has several functions. On the one hand, for knowledge exchange, also, and maybe that's the main function, to force help to establish such model laboratory and educational centers at many places in the world. We need them in Africa, we need them in the Near East, we need them in Asia, we need them in South. We need a big network, because it's a, that is a big challenge concerning climate change or refugees. It's not enough to do it in Wünsdorf, near Berlin. We have to do it everywhere in the world.
But when we stay with Wünsdorf, and because it's the most touchable thing at the moment, right? I mean, there is an amazing website you all guys should check out. It's eco-city.de, right? .de?
Net.
There is something really feelable and touchable somehow.
Yet.
No, but on at least
yeah.
From the concept
yeah.
side.
Yeah.
So how to make this happen? What are the clear steps and what is necessary now for the next years? Because I mean, we're gonna have a gigafactory here in Brandenburg soon. So when is Wünsdorf happening?
Yeah. So the big challenge for Brandenburg, Land Brandenburg,
mm-hmm.
is to realize Tesla factory and Wünsdorf.
Yeah, yeah.
Both.
Two revolutionary
yes,
ideas.
Yes, that's the future. yeah, but of course.
What are the bottlenecks?
The
you
bottlenecks.
Know?
The bottlenecks is we have to convince the new government of Brandenburg. They own the land, and they have to give the land and to support this project.
Mm.
And we are already in good discussion with, but they need still 2 or 3 months until they are organized with their new government. So we will start meeting and having meetings beginning of next year. That's a plan,
nice.
And it's also agreed from the government side. However. Politics don't like to decide something. They like talking about things, but they don't like decision making. And here we need decisions, so that's a big question. That's one point. Another bottleneck is, of course, to finance it. I don't think that is the main problem. Because we build student places, we build educational systems, all this money is already in budgets in the government, so it will not be the problem. And we need, of course, we need the German industry, because what we will realize there and have laboratory for it is the technology of the cities of the future. That is the market of the future. So I'm quite sure, and we have already many companies who are, because we are now in many newspapers, so we get a lot of reaction also from industry.
Mm.
They want to join the project.
Mm. What
but
for what reasons? For like, do they just want to support it, or do they see for themselves ways how they can contribute even to it more than just giving money to it?
Yeah, that's what I said. This technology is a technology of the future. It has a market for the future.
Mm.
So it is interesting for them to be part of it and to be in the process, in the laboratory for this and really have experience in praxis with these new technologies. So I think... you must know, just until now, it's really a project of civil society. We have no money. It's all, many people are involved in the project, but without money.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the next step we have to organize. We have to get brochures and this kind of things. But now we must get very professional. That is a big challenge for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another bottleneck. We need different type of teachers and people.
Mm-hmm.
So as well the students of different thinking, different background, and also the teachers. We need people who work, who have understood what are the challenges of the future, that needs new systems of education,
mm-hmm.
of living, and people who are burning to do it. But I'm also optimistic. Germany has more than 80 million people, and there are many frustrated professors, teachers, humans who really want to work for the future.
So it feels like it's a place to really, and I feel like that is a lot of our listeners are searching for something like this as well. I mean, this whole topic of climate change can become really easily overwhelming. And then you're getting deep into it, and you're trying to figure out how you where your place is into this game and where you can really drive change. And for me, it feels like that Wünsdorf could even become a place for people to really funnel this pain in a way into something productive instead of like just finger pointing or finding more out about a problem, but really working on solutions. So I think from the time it's really, really exciting what you're on. And I really love how scalable you think. You know, that it's not just one isolated project like these other eco villages, which are amazing, but they're just not scalable in a way, or they're not meant to scale in a way. And I wonder, where's the thinking coming from? Like, do you want to solve all the problems in the whole world? Because you are the first person who actually said, this is the problem. The cities, and I just had a picture in my mind, we bring all these resources into the cities, use them, put them in some garbage systems, and then we burn them and ship them. And like, it's just a complete, it's really, really messy in a way. And I really love that thought, and I love this clarity about this statement that you say, cities are like the hugest part of our problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really your conclusion?
Yes, absolutely.
And could you elaborate a little bit more on that,
mm-hmm.
to explain us this system city a little bit more and how we can really break it up into the cellular parts?
Yeah, this is, of course, the city, because we are living more and more in an urbanized society, but it means the same to the village. So the message is the future of cities and living is cellular, in cellular neighborhood structures. And this can be a village or can be a neighborhood in a megacity.
Are there examples for that already out there, which we can have a look at and feel and touch how it looks like? Holzmarkt, is that one, would
no,
you would say?
No. They had originally the idea to work in this direction, but
they missed
it. Really a pity they didn't realize it. What you see now at Holzmarkt is not the original idea.
Ah, okay.
That's really a pity, because I also, in many lectures, I gave the idea of original Holzmarkt, because it was really good.
Yeah.
But there's not very much left.
Why?
You must, that's a special...
Yeah,
subject.
But I just wonder, I asked this question, why?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, this dream of Wünsdorf sounds amazing,
mm-hmm.
you know? But there's always, or mostly, a but in such things.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, that is the question why I asked you, if there are projects like that out there, or is it so new, so revolutionary, that we cannot even have examples found
yeah,
out there?
Because in... I know, and I work closely together with one project in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
That is, for me, the most interesting one. you find something in this direction, you maybe you know out of it in India. This goes a little in the...
Have you been there?
I have many, many times.
Wow.
There, yes.
Interesting.
And in a way, we were talking about some eco-villages.
Yeah.
That child, but this is a special group of people that are more, I would say, closed communities. That is different from what we want with Menstow. It's a different concept. So we have not real examples.
So then we're happy to visit Wünsdorf in a couple
yes,
of years
yes,
to have
yes,
a real-life
yes,
example.
Yes.
Eckart, thank you
mm-hmm.
a lot for your time.
Mm-hmm.
And let's maybe, even when it's in my head pretty clear, but it's a common end question, so I don't wanna miss that on you. What is your utopia for the future and what makes you hopeful?
I would like to add one point.
Okay.
And that is, so we discussed the local function, we discussed the global function
yeah.
of Wünsdorf, but it has also a regional function.
Okay.
And that is a big argument also in the discussion with the government of Brandenburg.
Mm.
Because we call it the nucleus of an ecological or sustainable model region Berlin-Brandenburg.
Mm.
So because in Wünsdorf we realize the model how to change the villages, the small towns in Brandenburg, and also the neighborhoods in Berlin. So people, it's a very open place, I said before, people can go there, touch, see, and then they go back to their house and see, what can I do in my kitchen, what can I do in my
mm.
flat, what can I do in my house, what can I do in my neighborhood. And if they, the Wünsdorf is really convincing, they go home with ideas and then start the process of changing Berlin, villages, small towns and so on. It's also important if you look to the Lausitz area,
mm-hmm.
the Braunkohl area, or Uckermark
mm-hmm.
in Berlin. So these are models for these neglected areas, because then they get a future. And in Berlin are many people who want to live in a different way, in the city of Berlin, but also in Brandenburg. And maybe then it gets attractive to go to the Lausitz, or to go anywhere else. So it's because we need to change the relationship and cycles between city and region, in the villages, in the towns, and so on and so on. And but the basic concepts, technologies, and systems are quite similar.
Mm-hmm.
And so Wünsdorf will be the place where you can really
get
experience and get inspired.
Yeah.
And then you go.
It's like an open source project, actually.
Yes. This I want. And
cool.
So if there are listening people
yeah.
who have a lot of power and want to join to help this project getting to happen, they are welcome.
So what is there something really specifically you're looking for? People who are having experience into how to talk with politics? Are they website developers you're looking for? Are they architects you still need more? Or
it's everything.
Everything?
Yes. We have the idea next year, but we need people who can realize such ideas. But we want to start with a summer camp. Yes? As long as the city is not built,
mm.
and there's a lot of empty land, wasteland at the moment, we want to make a summer camp to all this subject, and that young people or enthusiastic people from Berlin, Europe, from the world, coming there for a few weeks in the year. So.
To experience
and to organize such it can be a eco Woodstock. Wilnsdorf will firstly get an eco Woodstock.
Wow, that are huge ambitions. I love it. Nice.
Yeah, so people.
So guys, whoever
guys,
who wanted to plan Woodstock, here's the possibility. Thank you, Eckhart.